Lesson 12, History of the Church. In Acts 2, the stage is set for the establishment or beginning of the Lord's church or kingdom. The apostles are in Jerusalem. The Spirit is poured out upon them. Many nations are represented since they are gathered for Pentecost. Peter and the apostles proclaim that this is the fulfillment of that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Christ has died, and thus the last days have begun. Repentance and remission of sins are preached. About 3,000 souls hearken to the preaching of the gospel and are baptized, and the Lord added them to his church. Then, from Jerusalem, the gospel goes throughout Judea, unto Samaria, and finally unto the uttermost parts of the earth, until every creature under heaven had heard it. Acts 1, verse 8, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, Colossians 1, verse 23. The church flourished in the days of the apostles and spread rapidly. After the conversion of Paul, he made 3 missionary journeys, not only preaching the gospel to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well. As a result, there were many converts and congregations of the Lord's church were established throughout Asia and Europe. But this was not easy, inasmuch as there was much persecution. First, the church began to be persecuted in Jerusalem. Because of this, the disciples were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. Acts 8, verses 1 through 4. As time went by, the Romans blamed the Christians for many of their problems and made sport by punishing them in their arenas in Rome and throughout the Roman world. Paul was finally imprisoned and taken to Rome for trial. Secular history tells us that all the apostles, except John, were martyred for the cause of Christ. Hundreds and thousands and perhaps millions of Christians also lost their lives. In spite of the persecution, the church only grew and spread. It was not persecution that gave the greatest blow to the church, but that which took place within the church itself. The Apostle Paul foretold of the day in which there would be a falling away. In other words, he was saying that the day would come in which many of the members of the Lord's church would drift into error. But let us notice what he says. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 12. And speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, Paul said, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Acts 20, verses 28 through 31. As Paul warned, there were those from within the church that rose up and began to lead away many of the followers of Christ. Secular history tells us that the falling away began with an attack on the government or organization of the church. The Lord's plan was that each congregation should be independent of the others, with its own elders and deacons. However, as time passed, many of these congregations began to exalt one elder or bishop over the others, and finally permitted one of these bishops to rule over several congregations, with the eventual outcome being that one was appointed the universal bishop over the entire church. Of course, this didn't happen overnight, but over a period of many years, and so by 606 AD, the first universal bishop became the head, or the pope, of the apostate sector of the church, resulting in the Catholic Church as we know it today. What happened to the Lord's Church? The faithful few continued, perhaps even unnoticed as a whole, but the Lord had promised that His kingdom or church would stand forever, and that it was to do. As far as the religious world was concerned, the Catholic Church dominated. As a matter of fact, it so controlled the world that the next several hundred years came to be known as the Dark Ages. This was because the Catholic Church refused to allow the Bible to be read by the common people, saying that only the priests were qualified to read and understand the Bible, and thus they would tell the people what the Bible taught. Naturally, this meant that they told the people only what they wanted them to know. During this period of time, even the Catholic Church divided into the Roman and Greek branches over such teachings as sprinkling and mechanical music. As time went by, the Roman Catholic Church, through her councils, etc., added many other doctrines and teachings to her system. Finally, in the 1500s, the Catholic Church had become so corrupt doctrinally and morally that a man by the name of Martin Luther sought to reform the church, he himself being a priest. However, he was excommunicated, and he left the church to teach and practice that which he thought was right. Out of this came what is known as the Reformation movement, or Protestantism, and out of this came what we know to be modern-day denominationalism. The course of Luther sparked off an attempt in many parts of the world to return to the Bible. In spite of this, they did not fully succeed. In the 1700s and 1800s, there were denominational people in Europe and America who grew tired of division and confusion. Gradually, they began to leave the errors they were in and to return fully to the Bible. Their desire was not to begin a new church, but to return to the one they could read about in the Scriptures. That they did. And since that time, the plea for pure New Testament Christianity has been heard around the world, with millions leaving the teachings of men to simply be Christians and members of the Lord's Church with the Bible as their only guide. Christians going into all parts of the world to preach the truth have discovered the church and its purity already existing in parts of Africa, India, Russia, Poland, and many other places. That church therefore exists today as it has always existed. It is not necessary to trace it all the way back to the beginning to prove that it is the one church of the Bible. The pattern of the church is in the Bible, and when we follow it, we are the Lord's church. The seed is the word of God, Luke 8 verse 11, and it produces the same thing today that it produced in the days of the apostles, Christians, and members of Christ's church. We know the Lord's kingdom was to stand forever. It has therefore been in existence somewhere ever since the day it was established, and it will continue to stand forever with no man or devil having the power to destroy it. This is the Lord's kingdom, His church, being victorious from beginning to end, and finally to dwell evermore with the Lord. Questions. Please give correct answers. Number 1. Where in the Bible do we find the story of the establishment of the Lord's Church? Number 2. In what city was it established? Number 3. How many were added to the church at that time? Number 4. Where else was the gospel preached? Number 5. How many missionary journeys did Paul make? Number 6. Did Paul preach to the Jews only? Number 7. In what two continents was the church established as a result of Paul's work? Number 8. What did the disciples do when they were scattered abroad? Number 9. Who persecuted the Lord's church? Number 10. How many of the apostles were put to death because of their faith? Number 11. Did the church grow in spite of the persecution? Number 12. What did Paul warn would happen in latter times? Number 13. How did the attack on the church begin? Number 14. What had happened by 606 AD? Number 15. What happened to the Lord's church? Number 16. Why were the next several hundred years called the Dark Ages? Number 17. Tell what two branches the Catholic Church divided into. Number 18. Name the man who sought to reform the Roman Catholic Church. Number 19. Why did he attempt to reform it? Number 20. What great movement came out of all of this? Number 21. Did they succeed in returning fully to the Bible? Number 22. What happened in the 1700s and 1800s? Number 23. Did these people begin a new church and return to the Bible for the pattern of the Lord's church? Number 24. Has the same church been found by Christians in other parts of the world? Number 25. Does the true Church of Christ exist today?